Hello, everybody, and welcome to This Week in Figure Skating for the week of March 18th through 24th, 2013. Everyone recovered from Worlds yet? Skating is already moving on, with four of the countries qualified for the World Team Trophy officially naming their teams. The U.S. is largely sending their world team, including Ashley Wagner, Gracie Gold, Max Aaron, and Marissa Castelli and Simon Schnapier, but Ross Minor has been traded for Jeremy Abbott. While Merrill Davis and Charlie White have bailed out, Madison Chalkanov and Bates go instead. Russia has managed further retention and more or less top strength. Tatiana Volozhozhia and Maxim Trenkov, Ekaterina Bobrova and Dmitry Solovyev, Elizaveta Tektomishova and Adelina Sotnikova are back, as is Maxim Kovtun, but Konstantin Menchov did at least get the second men's spot. Japan got close to top strength, but not quite. Mao Asada and Daisuke Takahashi are their powerhouses, Akiko Suzuki and Taki Gomura got the second single spots, and Kathy and Chris Reed are obviously the dance team, but with Narumi Takahashi and Ryuichi Kihara not ready yet, their team doesn't include pairs at all. The French more or less got all their top guns. Nathalie Pechela and Fabian Borzov, Florent Amodio, Brian Joubert, Vanessa James and Morgan Cyprus, and Maya Berenice Maite will be joined by Lionel Glyrengori. Nothing official from Canada or China as I record this Sunday evening, but unofficial word has gotten out on the entire Chinese team, headed by Han Yan, Nan Song, and Zijin Li. With their other two top teams still nursing big injuries, they're sending Cheng Peng and Hao Zhang in the pairs, and apparently for similar reasons, Zi Quan Zhao will be the second lady, and Zhao Yang Yu and Wang Chen the ice dance team. The Song has withdrawn from an intranational competition in Qingdao next week, which Han Yan nonetheless is attending, if only for the money. Also in a radio interview, Scott Moyer said he and Tessa Virtue will like their rivals are bailing. Yuzuru Hanyu is actually not attending, probably because right now he's not skating at all. Following Worlds, he had his knee examined and was pulled by the doctors to rest it for the next month, so his season has ended. But Japan did pretty well at this week's Coupe de Printemps in Luxembourg, managing to medal in all four of the senior and junior singles events, but their senior man, Tatsuki Mishida, lost his chance at gold in the short program. He and York Hendricks, fresh off getting Belgium an Olympic berth that should go to him no problem, both rotated the triple axle but didn't land it cleanly, then more or less got through equally hard jumps, but Mishida had a bad level spread while Hendricks had straight level fours, so the Belgian took a 6-point lead. Mishida took the free, but by less than a point, when he fell on a partially undertated quad, didn't do much better on a likewise partially undertated flip, and though the triple axle was good this time, the double axle wasn't, plus he doubled a salchow. So though Hendricks had again an unclean triple axle after his opening attempt and it didn't get one time around, and the combo after that saw the first jump partially downgraded and the second fully so, when he was clean after that, he held on to win 186.76 to 181.58. Romanian Zoltan Kelemen tailed Mishida closely in the short with a similar program and axle, and though he couldn't keep it up in the free, especially when he doubled both Lutzes and fell on his flip, he was the only guy that day to rotate two triple axles without falling on either, and added a triple toe to the first, though it wasn't a clean affair. And that was more than enough for bronze when fourth place German Paul Fence, the only guy within 30 points of him, popped his axle in the short and then in the long managed his first triple axle with a double toe but fell on a second, rotated a quad but fell on that too, and then singled his double axle. In the junior, Sei Kawahara had the opposite problem to Mishida. He led a pair of Frenchmen in the short, but fell behind both of them with a bad free to cede the win to Simon Hoquax. She might not have been made quite so happy as Hendricks by Sweden getting only one Olympic berth last week, but with her tie Oletza and double toe, Yoshi Helgeson still had an easy win in the senior ladies, despite a fall early in her steps in the short and one in a partially undertated toe in the free, where Oletza wasn't fully rotated either. She totaled 153.13, which was an over 15-point winning margin. It helped that the runners-up in both segments were sixth in the other. There were 6th place in the short, where she failed to Let's lose the combo and singled her axle, didn't keep Nathalie Weinzierl by following up her winning a berth for Germany by winning silver, though there she fell in the double axle triple toe and lost a combo to another bad Let's, but rotating the former and lack of any downgrades gave her the highest tariff for the free by a comfortable margin. Belgian Kat Van Diel, who was second with a close to clean short when nobody else competing had even that, wasn't so lucky. In the free, partially undertaking and falling on her opening loop left her without any triples harder than a salchow, and then she doubled both her triple toes, singled a double toe, and also singled an axle, which dropped her down to 5th, allowing Risa Soji to hold on for bronze, though while her only woes were downgrades, those woes were still pretty bad. She went for triple salchow, triple toe in the short, saw the toe partially downgraded, saw her loop fully downgraded, and then the free tried no triple triples, only to see two more major downgrades, and though one was on a double toe, the other was on her flip, and partial downgrades in her loop and salchow, so her only unaffected triple in the entire competition was one toe. In the juniors, however, Riona Kato got Japan a gold, though initially behind Lyubov Efremenko in the short, she easily passed her when the Finn had a bad free. Both senior and junior competitions had three pairs, with Ukrainian Lizaveta Utmanseva that, after starting the season with Estonian Sergei Kolbak, here won the seniors with native-born countryman Roman Talon. They were the only pair of the six to rotate any side-by-side triples, going for triple-toe in the free. Still, they didn't do any of them very well, nor most of their other elements, and while they also went for the throw flip in both programs, none of their throws were clean, and in the free, they fell on it. Though they, too, won by over 15 points, their 121.88 total was over 12 points lower than junior pairs winners Lena Fedorova and Maxim Maroshkin. Over in Croatia was the singles-only Mladost Trophy in Zagreb, a much smaller competition. There were 9 senior ladies. By less than a point, Eliska Brezinova edged out Laurine Lecavalier to win a short where everyone made at least one major error. Both Czech and French skater fell on their solo jump, but Brezinova rotated her lutz while Lecavalier's flip was fully downgraded. But in the free, though most of Brezinova's mistakes were small, her only clean jumping pass was her double axel, while Lecavalier's mistakes were all small and a little fewer in number, so she won with a total of 136.63, while Brezinova dropped down to third, behind Italian Carol Brezzanutti, who thanks to a popped lip and a fall on a double axel had been fourth in the short behind Finn Lina Rizanen, who like the top two only fell on her solo jump, a toe, but Brezzanutti landed her easier jumps in the free, though not either of her loops, and though she rotated one of them, the other was doubled and her salchow partially downgraded. Rizanen tried nothing harder than a salchow, fell in the two triples she rotated, failed to rotate her axel at all, and dropped to fourth. There were 4 senior men. Brit Philip Harris was pretty much unchallenged for gold. He was the only man to try the triple axel. It wasn't clean in the short, and he fell on his first in the free, but landed his second in combination, though he then doubled 2 jumps. He totaled 170.80. There were 21 junior ladies, among whom Sarah Astola came back from third to narrowly beat Vilma Latinen and lead a Finnish sweep, but only 3 junior men, with Canadian Dennis Margalik dominating 2 Italians. Next week, things continue with the Gardena Spring Trophy in Italy, and the U.S. has provided a little beefing up to that lineup. They announced this week Adam Rippon and Brandon Mraz will both be going. Also this week was the first Israeli national championships held since the last decade, but it wasn't much of one. All the programs took up so little time, the event was finished within one day, and all the skaters who participated were singles imports. Among them, but only skater sure program, was Polina Shilipin. Her newly announced defection was far more the talk of the area than anything else that happened, which could have Elena Sokolovskaya noting that this has been in the works for quite some time. She had the needed ancestry and has received the passport last week. As the current ISU waiting period is 18 months, she won't be eligible to represent Israel at Sochi, but her coach says their main goal has been set as 2018. They will continue to train at the CSKA in Moscow, however, where it looks like she's getting a new training mate. After a very disappointing season, Jean Bush has left Alexei Ermanov in St. Petersburg, citing too many conflicts between them. He wants to skate at CSKA, got Sokolovskaya to agree to a tryout, and so far he likes it and is really hoping for it to work out. He says whether he'll be staying there should be certain within a month. It is indeed the breakup season, and this week is painful. Caitlin Inkauskas has lost another partner without ever properly competing with him. She paired on ice partner search this week. Her now ex-partner, Joshua Reagan, is rumored to have teamed up with Andrea Poeps. Over in Russia, Kamila Gay-Netinova and Yvonne Beach are another sad breakup, their partnership having presumably fallen victim to her getting too tall for him. She has left St. Petersburg for her original home in Moscow, and there is no further word on either from there. Really needing to be settled, of course, is the location of the upcoming skis in Skate America. Unofficial word is Detroit is under consideration. But most of the official reporting was still about Worlds, with press around the world expressing their fury at the men's results, contradictory accounts going on about tickets being sold out versus empty seats leaving attendance an uncertain figure, also the press in Canada expressing their fury over the Globe and Mail's choice of photos when they put Caitlin Osmond on the front page. It had her leg up and a kick get exposed her crotch. Poor Osmond actually initially took it in stride and was just happy to be featured on the front page, but later admitted the media fuss kinda wrecked her enjoyment of it. The Russians, however, have other things to worry about. They're still not doing as well as they'd like, and Valentin Pisiv felt the need to give an interview about it, though he was sure to emphasize the success of Tatiana Volozhova and Maxim Trankov. He accused the judges of being harder on the other two pairs due to reputation, and also spoke about Vera Bazarova and Yuri Larionov's new coach, saying what Chrome Translate Render says, "We must all think. There are some suggestions. All they hear. We'll do better than it was." He also has much better to say about Ekaterina Bobrova and Dmitry Soloviev than about Elena Ilyinch and Nikita Katslapov, accusing the latter of not working hard enough and saying they need to change their training around. He defends the decision to send Maxim Kovtun to Worlds, saying his potential technical content had left him the best chance of their single men besides the injured of Evgeny Plushenko, and also that he is the one who can do the most in the future, and so the experience for him was good as well. He says similar about Elizaveta Tektomisheva and Adelina Sotnikova, and here too he badmouths the judging, saying their lack of history and earlier start order in the free hurt them, and concluded that even if Russia can only send 2 women to the Olympics, he's sure those 2 will both contend for the podium. Plushenko himself had words against the judging in the men's competition, putting accusations of Skate Canada politicking to the gold. This was not something something he quite repeated later in the week when he gave an interview. There he talked more about his admiration for not only Dennis Tenn, but also Brian Joubert, and how he was disappointed when he didn't score higher with two quads in his free. Both he himself in this interview and his trainer Ari Zakari in another one have updates on his own condition. He's only just left Israel, and he says his recovery is going well, although while he's now in the gym, he has not returned to the ice and is spending much of his time at home, taking care of his new son and even changing diapers this time around, which he will continue to do for some time, beginning new choreography on the floor at the end of April and returning to the ice in May. Then he goes to a high-altitude training camp in Kislovodsk. Zakarian also said she urged him not to go to Europeans, but Plushenko insisted on competing. Tatiana Volsozhar and Maxim Trankov, as Russia's biggest success at the moment, also had much to say. In an interview published Thursday, he talked to a great extent about losing his father, whose death put a huge dent in his motivation, as his father was a very large reason he had been skating. He even told Trankov the day before his death that he and Volsozhar would win in Zagreb, that they might not skate clean, but they would still win. Trankov was finally pushed to compete at Europeans, but his brother Alex, whom he would not expect encouragement to go and compete from, told him he had to go. And though he talks about the pain of his father being unable to see his recent successes, he speaks of his being there in spirit, saying what Chrome translates as, "I really feel this help from above." But how the thought of him sent him into hysterics on the podium. On more mundane subject, he talks about how the two of them weren't happy with their skates in the Grand Prix, even when they won everything. Havel and Sozhar gathering together protocols and numbers to do a serious cost-benefit analysis on the difficulty they were trying to add, and how much they were really gaining them, discovered it wasn't gaining them much, and they are now doing better performances of slightly simpler programs, and they actually would like another pair at their level to train under Nina Moser, because they would like to have that motivation on the practice ice. Ekaterina Bobrova and Dmitry Soloviev, too, had an interview published, and while not quite as dramatic, they, too, had much emotion of this competition, really happy for the bronze, for the people who told them they cried at the end of their free dance, and for the feeling that they did their best pair of performances yet. Though while they repeat they really needed drastic changes when they went to Alexander Zhulin, and how they're trying to build a Canton-like atmosphere with his other couples, they give credit to former coaches Elena Kostarova and Svetlana Alexeyeva for their bronze as well, citing the foundation they gave them. They also like that the program they skated to was more unique than with the other top couples with their more common music choices, and next year they want to do that again. Of course, the Russians weren't the only ones giving interviews. So was Patrick Chan talking with PJ Kwong, saying he may be in the free, panicked a little bit when he missed the Lutz, resulting in the rest of the program. His favorite moment was finishing the short, and least favorite was finishing the long. Kwong asked him about the Olympic preparation, for what he called the first of 700 times, but he sees no need to change his training regime, and though not absolutely saying he's keeping his coaching situation just like it is, he likes it this way, though he'll be staying in Detroit for good. He says he'll keep his current short and get a new long to what he says is one of his favorite pieces of music. Later in the week, he got new representation, announcing he had signed with the Mississauga-based Landmark Sport Group, which represents multiple other famous Canadian athletes and runs the city's annual marathon. Talking about things even more vital to their prospects were Isabella Tobias and Devita Stagnunius, saying that following their earning an Olympic berth for Lithuania, the government, which initially rejected her application for citizenship, is now officially reconsidering their decision. Tobias now even has a great uncle sending the government evidence of some Lithuanian ancestry. She seems pretty bold about her opinion of her accomplishments now being enough, even saying, "I can't imagine that there could still be an objection." But of course, the world was probably paying more attention to the premiere of Dancing with the Stars' 16th season. Tristan McManus beforehand continued to emphasize Dorothy Hamill's improvement, especially after Stars on Ice wrapped up and they were able to train full-time in LA, but noted no couple on Dancing with the Stars can be sure how they'll do that first week until they dance. But in their first dance, they acquitted themselves well, doing a routine to Tiny Dancer, where she portrayed a further roaming figure in a snow globe. If Hamill couldn't quite match Kristi Yamaguchi or Evan Lysacek in speed or stability, there were a couple of shaky moments. She pretty much outdid them both in artistry. There, Judge Carrie Ann Inaba summed her up as just golden. All three judges gave her 7, tying her for second with two other couples. No one was eliminated the first week. All the couples will be back to dance again tomorrow night, and Tuesday night, the first eliminees must go. And finally, the World Figure Skating Hall of Fame this year will induct Dutch 1964 Olympic champion Suzuki De Gestra. On along with her will be 3 special inductees elected by the Golden Committee, which select figures from before World War II, Finn Victor Balk, longtime president of the ISU from before 1900 to the 1920s, and 1920 Olympic winning cross-national German-Finnish pairs team, Ludovica Eilers Jacobson and Walter Jacobson. And that is this week in figure skating. Good night.